This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5. Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible. One book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. And now, here's Sherry.
God bless you, thank you, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Jesus said, thy word is truth. This is Sherry, America's messenger of truth. So America, men, women, boys, and girls, please open your truth book, your King James Bibles, to the Gospel of St. John, chapter 4, verse 25, where we left off last time. John chapter 4 verse 25. Excuse me. Just before we begin, I would like to invite the entire United States of America to join me on WMIEFM.com on this my program, Sherry Medlock Trumpet of Truth, all over America on October 8th at the same time, 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, for our second time of repentance. I'm calling it Atone, Come Home to God. America, atone, come home to God. And my twin friend Scott Merson is again going to join me, and we're going to pray for the government. The Lord has already written the play, and we're ready to go. And it's just before the election. We need it so badly. Only God can save our country. America, second time of repentance here from this ministry, October 8th. Sherry Medlock, Trumpet of Truth, 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on this regular program, America Atone, Come Home to God. And now, John chapter 4, verse 25. This chapter is so beautiful. We have the beautiful story of the woman at the well who was thirsty, outcast, and rejected. And she came to Jesus and to the well, and there was the living water, Jesus sitting on the well. But we learned at level 3 last week that you are the woman at the well. You, men, women, boys, and girls, because woman is a symbol of the body of Christ. You are thirsty. Life is too hard. Sometimes you can't take it anymore. You are so thirsty. And so the woman at the well, you are that. Now, the beautiful thing last week, Jesus just cut through the chase and went to the woman's heart. You want to help people. Cut the bull and go to the heart. I have that gift. That's how you reach people. Everybody's got the superfluous thing. Go to the heart. Jesus did. And he told her all things ever she did. Now, listen how she responds. Verse 25.
25. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. And when he is come, he will tell us all things.
Suddenly, she's amazed. Wait just a minute. She is one of the 10 tribes because they had moved to Samaria. She had heard that a Messiah was to come. Is it possible, sir, that you might be the Messiah?
Verse 26. And Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he.
I am that I am. Moses at the burning bush said, God, what is your name? God speaks Hebrew, and God said in Hebrew, Ayah, Asha, Ayah, I am that I am. I am that I will become. When they came to arrest Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, Whom seek ye? And the soldiers said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus says, I am. The he was added by translators, and they fell backward. There is the great I am, sitting at the well, and the great I am is holding out to you a cool drink of water through this handmaiden today. Today you can drink and be set free from all the demonic forces that have ever caused you trouble. Today you can have a new lease on life. Today you can drink and never thirst again. The great I am offers you, woman at the well.
27, and upon this came his disciples and marveled because he talked with the woman.
Now, I taught you last week that it was taboo, politically incorrect for a Hebrew man to speak to a stranger. But Jesus is not politically correct, thank goodness.
Yet no man said, What seekest thou? Or why talkest thou with her?
They didn't dare question him.
Verse 28, then the woman left her water pot and went in unto the city, and saith unto the men, 29, come see a man which told me all things whatever I did. Is not this the Christ?
Now the whole purpose of that woman going in the hot time of noontime was to get a big old jug of water. She had to go when nobody was there because they looked down upon her. But she left her physical purpose. She left her water pot, which was her purpose in life, and she went to the men. Some of those men might have been her husband, and she told them, and she witnessed to them. Now, you've got a water pot, and you think that's what you're about. I mean, it just is so important to you because your life is in a square box and you think that this is all. And your water jug is you. It defines you. It's the most important thing of all. But when you meet the great I Am, when you find a greater purpose than this physical purpose, then you will leave the water pot and you will go and you will tell and you will bring other people to the living water. What is your water pot? What is the water jug that has kept you so right here, thinking only about you, yourself, and you, me, myself, and I, my four, and no more? There is a destiny, there is a purpose greater than anything you've ever known. Hallelujah. Yeah. Oh, so yeah. She left her water pot.
Verse 30, then they went out of the city and came unto him. 31, meanwhile his disciples prayed him, saying, eat.
Now remember, the disciples had gone into the city to buy Jesus some food because when they left him, he was hungry. Master, here's some food. They don't know what's been happening here. They don't know that the woman at the well has found a new purpose and a new life.
32, but he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of.
Now, when he said that to them, if they had been able to turn on a dime at the nudge of a Holy Spirit, which every Christian is supposed to do, they would have sensed immediately that something deep and spiritual had happened. But listen, they just, duh. There they had seen the miracles. The blind had been healed, the deaf, the dead raised, the deaf could hear. And they're thinking about that. Oh my Lord, have mercy, people. Live in the spiritual. You're not going to be crazy. You got to take care of the nitty-gritty. So do I. You'd be surprised what I have to take care of. But they should have known. But no, it was still me, myself, and I, my stuff, my water jug.
33, therefore said the disciples one to another, has any man brought him aught to eat?
Somebody come in and give him some food. See how they're thinking? Some flesh? Listen, all the while, 24 hours a day, God is speaking to you. He never stops speaking to you. And most of the time, you're so concerned about the food and the water jug.
34, and Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work.
Now, to finish his work, when Jesus gave up the ghost on the cross, Jesus said, it is finished. Jesus came with a purpose, to pay the sin debt, and so that he could remarry us. Remember the wedding in Cana? There was a natural wedding, but he said, Mother, it's not time for my wedding yet. That's what it says in the manuscripts. He kept his focus on what his purpose was. See, people say, where do you get your energy? When you remember your purpose and stay in your purpose, you have the energy. See, Jesus was revitalized because you see, the flesh is willing, but the spirit is power. The flesh is willing, but the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And so there he was. He was energized because he moved into his destiny. Julia McIlvain is in New York. She's one of my dear friends. And her husband, Joseph McIlvain, they used to come to my school and all the things in Bible and everything. And I did his eulogy when he passed down at the Episcopal Church in Cocoa Village. But before he passed, he asked me, Sherry, where do you get your energy? Here's the deal. It's not your body. He says that your energy will accelerate. Even in old age, you will bear more fruit in old age than ever before, because you are a spirit. You have a purpose and a destiny. The reason you drag and the reason you get so tired is you get out of your purpose. I don't mean that you don't take care of the nitty-gritty. I do too. But even in the nitty-gritty, going to the store, going to the bank, sweeping the floor, working, typing, whatever you do, you are still aware of your spiritual destiny. And there is a vitamin that goes into you from the Spirit of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And you would never, your spirit would not tire. The reason you get down is you let your spirit rest and you've gotten back in your flesh again.
Verse 35, say not ye, there yet 4 months and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already for harvest.
Now, Jesus is now moving into our time. Remember, he's a prophet. Paul said he's a prophet as well as God and priest and everything. Paul said these things happen to them for those of us who are at the end of the age, for an example. Jesus now comes and gives us a word of prophecy. You hear him say 4 months? Okay. The Antichrist is about to come. We're in the fifth trump now, a time of learning. That's why God's got me teaching the world. And at the sixth trump, the Antichrist will come. Now, he originally had 7 years in Daniel, but in Daniel, it was shortened to times and a half times, which is 3.5 years. See, you'd get that from seven. But in Mark 13, which was written after Daniel, Jesus says, I am shortening it for the elect's sake, lest nobody stand. Shortening it what? The time of the abomination of desolation, the Antichrist. And in Revelation 9, it's shortened to 5 months because the king of the bottomless pit is Abaddon, which means the destroyer, also called in the Greek Apollyon, which is perdition. Ezekiel 28 says the devil, Tyrus, is perdition. And it's shortened to 5 months. And so, what did Jesus just say? 4 months and time to harvest. Now, this gives you a great clue. The sixth trump is about to sound. But for the first 4 months of the Antichrist's reign, he's got five, he's not cutting heads off. He's coming back as sweet, sweet Savior. It'd be a big revival in the Christian church, except they're worshiping the wrong Jesus. So we have a little wiggle room, shall we say, those of us who elect and know he's not Jesus. We have a little wiggle room to still harvest in souls and throughout the lifeline to them. On the fifth month of his reign, we won't, because that is when we, the elect, will be delivered up to him. And then we shall speak with the Holy Spirit speaking. All the gospel will be heard all over the world, and then the end shall come. So he gives us this wonderful, wonderful little acrostic right in that. Did you like that?
Yes.
36. And he that reapeth receiveth wages.
Now, he says, if you work for God and you bring souls into the kingdom, God will reward you. Frankly, my greatest reward is to know that that poor, wretched soul is going to have life eternal. But I do want to see Jesus smile at me and say, well done, don't you?
Amen.
Gathereth fruit.
And every time we win a soul to Jesus, he calls that fruit. Jesus is the vine, you're the branch. Did you know that if you abide in the vine, you would automatically bear fruit? You can't help but shine. Your energy can't help but go out. Christ can't help but just flow out from you. He says, if you abide in the vine, you will bear fruit. See, a lot of you think, but I abide in the vine, I don't bear fruit. No, no, no. You short-circuited somewhere there. Like Hillary, you're short-circuited.
Life eternal. Both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together.
Now, in the Gospels, we know that at the end of time, that Jesus is coming for a harvest, and the reapers are the angels. Now, I want to talk to you about sowing and reaping, because everybody under the sound of my voice, if you are a Christian, you are commanded to sow and you are commanded to reap. Now, in the Gospel of Matthew 13, for homework, read it. Don't read it now, because I'm just going to go quickly on this. He gives a parable, Jesus does. He says, a sower went forth to sow. The seed he's sowing is the word of God. And when it says the sower, it means broadcasting. See, I'm broadcasting right here. The sower in Bible times would put a bag on his shoulder and would walk along and cast some broadly this way, and cast some seed broadly this way. Casting broad, casting wide, broadcasting. All right. So, right now, I'm broadcasting. There are people all over the world hearing. And so, some are hearing it, and some are hearing it. Now, let's see who's going to receive it. When you Christians sow, and you're commanded to, go and tell, that means sow. If you're not doing that, you're in sin, and you're short-circuited. That's probably why you're not bearing fruit. Some of it falls by the wayside, and the birds come and eat it. What they did in Bible times, they had a pathway. They walked. It got so hard that it was as hard as the concrete outside of my school. So see, there are some people's hearts to whom you will sow the word. They are so hard. They are so rebellious. There's not even a chance. They won't even give you the time of day to listen. And the devil sneaks and takes that away. Nope, no, nothing. You all had those. We've all had those. Then there's the seed that you sow into stony ground. Now, there's a little bit of dirt in there and a little bit of water, so a little thing can sprout, but it has no root in itself because you have to have root. You have to be rooted and grounded, and although it comes up a little bit, when the sun comes out, it scorches it, and anon it goes. These are the people who hear the word of God anon with joy. Oh, this is the greatest thing. 500,000 people have stood before me and said, this is the greatest teaching I've ever heard in my life. I'm going to do this. Boom. First kind of persecution. No root. Unstable as water. And then there are those people you will sow. See, don't get discouraged about this. I'm just trying to explain. These are the kind of people you're going to meet. It grows, but it's sown where the thorns are. And the thorns choke it. In Judges chapter 9, the bramble tree is the thorn tree, is the devil. And his children are the little thorns, Junior. I call them the briars. And so these people, they get it, they love it, but the cares of the world, because the Kenites, the thorns, the devil's children, are tempting you with money and power and fame and all kind of money laundering, and away you go. But some of your seed will fall into good soil, and there will be fruit, 100, 60, 30. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, here's the thing. Sometimes you will sow and another Christian will reap. Genesis 8:22 says seed, time, and harvest. Let me give you an example. When I first started my studio in another place, it was in Cocoa Village, but another building, one of my first students was a young woman about 18 years of age, and we bonded deeply. And I made her a star. I brought her out of herself and just trained her and trained her. And so she moved away to become a professional Christian musician. 18 years later, I was in another studio in the village. I'd gotten driven out by a drug gang from that one, so we don't stop. And I went down to Cocoa Village, Burt Clark Square, for 12 years. Every Christmas, I gave a gift to Brevard. Beautiful professional Christmas story, Jesus in the Christmas carols. I had men and women who could really sing in costumes. And so there was this crowd. They would come from all over Vard. And when I finished, this woman came up to me, and she said, I am. And she was the 18-year-old girl. It was 18 years later. And she said, Sherry, a little while ago, I went to get my hair done, and my hairdresser said to me, it's time for you to accept Jesus. So she said, I did. But she said, Sherry, it was 18 years ago, you planted the seed, and it stayed with me, and stayed with me, and stayed with me. If she remembered that, I didn't even know I planted any seed. You see? Okay, so sometimes you'll sow, you'll never know whether you reaped. But won't it be wonderful in heaven when somebody looks and says, hey there, I'm here because you sowed. You didn't know. See, you sow, and God will grow. Now, sometimes you will reap that which you have not sown. Another studio I was in, see, I've been driven out by drug gangs. I mean, we know about persecution. So another one I was in the village. I had just had my Sunday service. I taught the word. I had healed and cast out devils and raised the dead, as I'm prone to do in the name of Jesus. And I said, everybody stand. And in walked a man, a nice man. And I said, I'm so sorry. We've already had the word. I've already prayed for the whole wide world. We're about to have the benediction. But I said, is there anything I can pray for you? He said, yes, would you pray for me to be saved? Woo! That's reaping. Now, somebody sowed. Was it a mother? Was it a father? Was it a friend? You understand? Now, sometimes you will be used to just water. See, probably the girl between those 18 years, maybe somebody watered and she remembered the seed I had sown. So all of it is important. The beautiful poetry books of the Bible say, in the morning sow your seed, in the evening do the same, one or the other shall grow. The song I just sang, sowing in the morning, sowing seeds of kindness, sowing at the noontime and the dewy eve, waiting for the harvest and the time of reaping, and we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Go and sow, like the woman at the well did.
37, and herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth.
And Paul says, one sows, one waters, God gives the increase. Remember this, you're the sower, but you are not the grower. But you are to sow. If you don't sow, there are bloods on your hand. But you're not the one to grow. But if it's hard, go to the stony. If that doesn't work, if they fall away, go to the thorny. And then go to the good soul. Sooner or later, you're going to get one.
Amen. 38. I sent you to reap that whereon you have bestowed no labor.
Okay. Now, God sowed one son into this world to pay our sin debt, Jesus. And God reaped from that labor many sons. You and I do not have to labor on the cross, do we? We take up our cross, but we do not pay the sin debt. Look at Paul. He labored, even was finally, history says, beheaded, suffered, beaten, so many things. And he labored and wrote these beautiful books to tell us how to live the Christian life. Look at this John. He was taken in the Spirit to write the great book of Revelation. And so you see, nobody's more important than the other. We all have moments to sow, and we all have moments to reap. So see, you can be the whole ball of wax. And if you sow, or if you reap, or if you only do one, we rejoice. Why do we rejoice? Because we love the brethren. We want them to have eternal life, don't we?
Amen. Other men labored, and you are entered into their labor. 39, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman.
Now the woman went, boy, she left her water jug, the greatest thing she had possession. She gave it all. Remember the rich young ruler came to Jesus? Jesus says, go and sell all you have and give to the poor and come and follow me. Uh-oh. Now I can tell you, I've given it all up. I'm not telling you to go give all your money away, but you probably have a water jug that needs to be discarded so you can go and tell and go and sow.
Testified, he told me all that ever I did. 40. So many of the Samaritans were coming to him. They besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days.
See, if you want Jesus to spend time with you, he will. He's not too busy, but are you too busy? He stayed with them, the great I am, and taught them 2 days.
41. And many more believed because of his own word.
Well, hallelujah. Now, earlier in John, we had the phony church leaders, the scribes and Pharisees, the Kenites say, if you're the Messiah, show us the sign and then we'll believe. Give us a miracle. Give us a fantastic thing here. Here's how you get people saved. The word of God. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Jesus says, to those people would look at the miracle. Do you believe because you see a miracle? Blessed are those who believe and do not see. There is nothing in the church to be exalted above the word of God. I'm a musician, but the music is not what saves you. It comforts you. All these wonderful things we have, they're beautiful and wonderful. But the greatest thing is the word of God. The word is sufficient, and they believe Jesus because of the word. Now, how many of you believe that the blood of Jesus washes away your sins? Say amen for radio.
Amen.
How many of you have seen the blood of Jesus? No. Okay. But you believe, do you not? Now look at all the other promises in the Bible. That the angel of the Lord will encamp round about you and deliver you. That with his stripes you are healed. That if you give, it'll be given unto you. Bring your tithes to the storehouse and pray and he'll answer you. But you don't believe that. God said, believe me, believe my word. If he said it, he would do it. You do not need one other person or thing. It is so good to have encouragement. I would give anything in the world if I had an encourager. But I can tell you one thing. I'll encourage myself. You do too. The word of God is true. And believe the word. God said, believe me, believe my word. And he is one who watches over his word. Psalm 89, he says, I do not alter the word that goes out of my lips. If he said it, he would do it. Hallelujah.
42. And they said unto the woman, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves.
Even though you witnessed to us, they said, we heard the word. Don't forget, Jesus is the word. In the beginning was the word. The word was with God. And the word was God. The word became flesh. The Bible is the word. So see, what you sow into people's lives is not thoughts and philosophies of people's books about the book, though they are good. I'm a bookworm. I love them. I love to read people's inspirational things. No, 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 no. The word of God is quicker and powerful than a two-edged sword, and it pierces even the joints and marrows, even between the soul and the spirit, Hebrews says. The word of God is sufficient to save the lost. It's able to heal the sick, to raise the dead. When you stand over your sick child or your sick person or your sick problem, the word of God is what you need. I have read the word of God or had it memorized over a dead man and he came back alive. Did I do it? No! The word of God did it. And so we do these rain dances. The word of God will make the demons come out of a person. The word of God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. The word shall endure forever.
And know that this is indeed the Christ.
And know that this is indeed the Christ. Christ is the anointed one. Messiah is the anointed one. Were you blessed?
Yes.
The time of teaching. This was a great time of teaching. We'll pick it up right there next time. But right now it's time for a mystery moment. Questions and answers to help you understand the mystery of God. And I want to welcome my twin friend Scott Merson. Hello, Scott.
Hi, Sherry. How you doing?
Great. How are you?
I'm doing real good. Very blessed by that word. Thank you.
Okay.
Our first question comes from somebody who wants to know, who is the woman in the basket in Zechariah chapter 5?
This is a metaphor. Olivia, you love that word, metaphor. Metaphor. What this is the deceived men and women of the world when the Antichrist comes. It's a metaphor. The basket symbolizes harvest time. So they are harvested out of season, thinking the first one is Jesus. The church will be, the world will call him Messiah. The deceived Christians will think he's Jesus because Antichrist comes first. But see, remember, it's going to be sweet and nice to revival in the church. And they're going to the wrong harvest. And so that's deceived. The sad thing about that, Zechariah chapter 5, those people don't get to go to God. They go to a place called Shinar, which means confusion, which means, what's your expression, Scott?
Yeah, going to hell in a handbasket.
Hell in a handbasket, okay. Yeah. That's right. So you don't want to, don't be harvested out of season. Wait for the true Christ.
Amen. Our next question. I know there are seven trumps. Which trump are we in now?
We are now in the fifth trump, Revelation, and trump is an action. This is a time of learning. And, of course, very soon, this is coming to an end. That's why God's got me here broadcasting this word out and got Scott working with me here. The sixth trump will be the Antichrist, and his time has been shortened for 5 months, Revelation 9, Mark 13. And then the seventh trump will come, sound, and Jesus will come. So what you're going to do, you need to do it. Get your life straightened out and give everything to Jesus and get it done and go and sow.
Amen. Coming up.
Yep.
Our next question comes from somebody that asks, can you please give us a biblical hint as how to vote?
How to vote. Okay. Coming up pretty soon in the same Gospel of John, Jesus will say, cast your net on the right side. Now, at the harvest time when Jesus comes, he's going to separate the sheep from the goats. The goats represent the devil. Even Antichrist is going to call himself Theosata. And he's going to put the goats, the devil's kids, on the left, and he's going to put the God's children on the right. And always do the right thing. Listen to me. Anytime you vote for socialism or communism, all of socialism is communism, is atheism. God is pushed out. And you are dead. I'm so glad we're going to have, Scott, this day of repentance on October 8th. We've got one more chance. Vote right. And don't forget, we're in the fifth trump. Let's say it.
Trump.
We're in the fifth trump.
Trump.
We're in the fifth trump.
Trump.
Okay.
Yeah, Jesus,
that was a hint.
On the right-hand side of God.
Yes.
Our last question. What does Isaac's name mean in Hebrew?
Isaac's name in Hebrew means laughter. When the angel of the Lord came to Abraham and Sarah, and they were very old, said, this time next year you're going to have a son, Isaac, Sarah laughed. His name means laughter. It is a characteristic of God's elect who are the true seed. We have a sense of humor. You can knock us down and roll over us and tattoo us and push us in the ditch, but somehow we'll rise up there and say, ha-ha. Thank you so much,
thank
God.
You,
appreciate that. Praise the Lord. Okay, now I want all of you to come and live with me in Father's house forever. If you are not saved, please pray this prayer with me and mean it. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned. Speak quickly, please.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Forgive my sins.
Forgive my sins.
Wash them away with the blood.
Wash them away with blood.
The blood of Jesus.
The blood of Jesus.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Grow me in your word.
Grow me in your word.
And use me. To enlarge your territory.
To enlarge your territory.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
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 In a few minutes, my announcer will give you my number. Please call and tell me you were saved. Now let me pray for those of you who are sick. Father, in the name and the power of Jesus, by your Holy Spirit, the anointing destroys the yoke. And now in the name and the power of Jesus, all of you people who are tormented, tormented by trouble and tormented by fears, I command in the name of Jesus, the spirit of torment to go from you. Let your mind and your emotions and your soul be delivered. Let the torment go to the abyss and never return in the name of Jesus. Now, be filled with peace. Be filled with love. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. In the name and the power of Jesus, all cancers be gone. Diabetes be gone. Glaucoma be gone. Arthritis be gone. Fibromyalgia be gone. Thyroid be healed. Blood be made pure in Jesus' mighty name. People in a wheelchair, pick up your wheelchair and walk. Take up your bed. Arise. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He sent his word and healed. With Jesus' stripes you were healed. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Now, if you were healed, call and tell me that too. And I will pray for you. Well, it's time now for my love line of the week, excuse me, from my heart to your heart. Be God's helping hand. Now remember, we are the body of Christ. You know how when one part of your body hurts and your hand runs to that body part to try to massage and comfort and make it feel better? You be God's helping hand. When you see another member of the body of Christ hurting, go to that person, pick up one side of their heavy load, and bring comfort to them. We are one body. We are to feel each other's pain. There's something wrong if you are not aware of their pain. Be God's helping hand, and then God will help you. Now, all that you have heard today is not yours to keep. You want to share it and sow it. And give it away. All the truth that you give away, God will restore back to you, and he will double it. He'll give you a double portion anointing of the truth. Now, you want to wait for my announcer. You want to call me and tell me you were saved, or tell me you were healed, or leave your questions, your prayer requests, or just tell me you appreciate the program. Now, remember this about Yeshua Jesus. His name is called the Word of God. And Jesus said in John 17:17, thy word is truth. Now don't forget America's Day of Repentance, October 8th, right here on my radio program, 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can get us on the net, WMIEFM.com, Elect Connect all over America. And I'm calling it, and Scott Merson's going to join me here, we're going to pray. We're calling it America, Atone and Come Home to God. It's our last chance. It's our only chance just before the election. We must, America, repent. We must make Jesus the Lord and the Bible the book. We must lift up the cross of Jesus. We must become a pure and holy nation again in order to get this gospel out while there's still time. God bless you and I love you. Wait for my announcer now. Remember, Jesus, his name is called the Word of God and his word is truth. I love you. See you next time.
You've been listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. You're invited to call Sherry at 321-632-4631. That's 321-632-4631. Join us next week at the same time for Trumpet of Truth.
It's like the sun is shining when the rain is pouring down. are listening to WMIE, Bavard's home for the very best in contemporary, modern praise and worship music. 91.5 FM.
Do you know what you are getting yours? myself into. I'm getting into you because you got to me in a way words can't describe. I'm getting into you because I've got to be. You're essential to survive. I'm gonna love you with my life. When he looked at me and said, I kind of view you as a son. And for 1 second our eyes met, and I met that with a question.
Got to do what my Lord does. off than I was. And if you want some of what I got, then all you do is say the word, and he'll change you on the spot. You won't take no credit. You're gonna feel the same as me. I guess you will now. When I ask you what the change is all about, you'll only take a minute to spell it out. You say capital J with a little bit of E, followed by an S U S. Ain't gonna keep it no mystery. He's the key to my success. Capital J, hey, with a little bit of E, followed by an S U S. Ain't gonna keep it no mystery. He's the key to my success. Capital J, hey.
You're listening to WMIE, today's Modern Worship, 91.5 FM.
What am I gonna be when I grow up? And how am I gonna make my mark in history? And what are they gonna write about me when I'm gone? These are the questions that shape the way I think about what matters. But I have no guarantee of my next heartbeat. And my world's too big to make a name for myself. And what if no one wants to read about me when I'm gone? It seems to me that right now's the only moment that matters. You know the number of my days, so come paint your pictures on the canvas in my head, and come write your wisdom on my heart. Teach me the power of a moment, the power of a moment, the power of a moment, yeah. In your kingdom where the least is greatest, the weak are given strength and fools confound the wise, and forever brushes up against a moment's time. Leaving impressions and drawing me into what really matters. You know the number of my days, so come paint your pictures on the canvas in my head, and come write your wisdom on my.